This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy.
It is Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike, Pete, peak physical condition that they are in across the way, other side. Bogish with your updates. We take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. 2 hours left to play with, coming your way about 20 minutes from now. We're going to talk a little NFL, a little college. With Randy Cross, three-time Super Bowl champion with the San Francisco 49ers, will join Taz and myself. But before that, let's hit the campgrounds.
Time to go camping, boys and girls. Who better to go sit around the campfire and spitball some football, eat some pork beans, brisket, and throw back some cold ones than with Taz and the Moose?
It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard, talking smack since the day they was born. It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard, talking smack since the day they was born.
There you go. Yes. It is Taz and the Moose as we hit the campgrounds. Let's run around the league, shall we, Taz? Yes, let's head down to South Beach, shall we? Miami we go. Their head coach is Brian Flores, talking about young signal caller Josh Rosen, year two, second different franchise, trying to be the starter down in South Beach. Take a listen.
Playing the older guy, and a case could also be made that the younger guy's not ready. You know, I'm the one dealing with the individual player, and sometimes guys just aren't ready. And for those who aren't, you know, in the trenches and dealing with the day-to-day, they wouldn't understand that. So if a guy's ready, we put him out there. If he's not, we won't put him out there. And I think that's the right way to approach it.
Well, it's interesting when you look at it. Some believe that you need to kind of learn from experience in the National Football League as well, that you're necessarily not going to be ready just sitting on the sidelines. Others will point to guys like Aaron Rodgers, who sat on the sidelines, Taz. Now, it wasn't a case that he wasn't ready to play. He had Brett Favre in front of him, but when he stepped in, Aaron Rodgers became the best quarterback in the National Football League with all of his God-given athletic ability. So there's different ways you can look at it. You know, clearly, you know, the Miami Dolphins and Flores, for him, trying to establish something there as a first-year head coach. You know, he wants to be a team that's a competitive team, and he doesn't feel right now that from, I mean, I don't have to read between the lines. He's telling you that Josh Rosen's not ready to be a starting quarterback for the Dolphins.
Right, no, you're right. Yeah, you know, man, it's a tough deal, right? So I do think, I believe that guys can get better in practice, and no matter what level of sport or sport you're playing. I do. I think as long as you're getting two things in practice, the right amount of minutes, and you're getting opportunity to work with the ones, work with the starters, I think then you're being groomed properly to be the starter. Now, we don't know if that's the case with Josh Rosen. We don't know how much he's working with the ones. We have no idea. I agree with you. Flores really came off like, all right, well, look, Fitzpatrick's a starter. We're comfortable with him. Right now, the young guy's not ready.
Yeah.
And you look at Rosen. Look, we talked about it a whole bunch. I mean, what he's been through with the Arizona Cardinals and what he went through in the recruiting, in the draft process and all of the narrative that was out there on him, that he's a, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm, you know, just humor me, a spoiled rich kid with an attitude. That was kind of what the narrative was on Rosen. Not saying that's true, but that's what a lot of people thought of him. And that he was a little bit snarky, that he was a little bit entitled and all these other things. He didn't love the game. He didn't have a good work ethic. And then he goes to the Cardinals, and then they come in. What's his name? Kingsbury comes in. Thanks for coming. We got Kyler Murray. See you later. My point in this long form that I'm saying about Josh Rosenmoose, this is a guy, and I'm not saying Flores is doing it wrong, but this is a guy who needs his confidence built right now.
It does. You're right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
And unfortunately for him, I guess he has not played to the level that maybe the fish have wanted.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the work in the ones. You know, when it gets to the regular season, Taz, that goes away.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Because it's going to be all about preparing for the next game, not developing Rosen.
That's, right.
That's not going to be the focus.
You're right
so,
about that.
That's a problem for him. That means he's going to have to do some side work and extra work to continue to develop, and it's going to be on him to go out there and do it because the NFL is not necessarily all about, they want you to develop, but they also want you to earn it. And when it gets to the regular season, all these guys are what they're trying to do is win every single week.
But the point you just made, and you're dead on correct, when you're not one of the ones, when you're not a starter and the season starts, now you're playing catch up. Every week, every day, because you need to maximize any opportunity you get in practice or in a game. You need to maximize that because those opportunities are few and far between. And it's not just Josh Rosen. It's any player, any male or female, any team, any sport. It don't matter, high school, college, pro athletes. It's just the way it goes. It sucks, but that's how it is. So you got to maximize opportunities. Or maybe the guy ahead of you gets an injury or something like that, or he's playing real bad. That could happen too. Who knows?
Let's head out to Chicago next. Here's their head coach, Matt Nagy, who's receiving some criticism in terms of their search for their place kicker and how they've handled that. Here he is responding to those critics.
We brought in a lot of different kickers that came in here. And to me, I look at it as a positive in the fact that we said we were going to turn over every stone to find whoever's out there, right? And we felt like we at that point in time, when we brought in a bunch of kickers, we're going to test them all out and see what they can do. And then within that time frame, we also get put in some situations with the Augusta Silence early on to see how they could handle it. And, you know, is it exactly the perfect science? I don't know that. Maybe not. But for the most part, I just really like with how we're going through this thing. Ryan and I talk about no regrets, right? And we talk about it as a team. So at least we can look back and say, you know, we hopefully didn't miss out on somebody. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, then you read the piece in Sports Illustrated where these guys have come in to try and be the place kicker for the Chicago Bears, basically in essence saying, paraphrasing here, just a total negative vibe in the special teams room regards to place kicker that Nagy is so haunted by the double doink miss by Cody Parkey against the Philadelphia Eagles that he actually had these guys taking 43 yards.
Oh, my God. You're kidding. No. I didn't know that.
And he's so haunted, and he can't get over the fact that Parkey missed the 43-yard field goal. That these guys, he's having them line up to attempt 43-yard field goals as part of their tryout.
That's crazy, man. That's insane.
That really is insane.
You know, right now, I'm looking at the Chicago Bears depth chart. I should say. They have one place kicker.
Yeah, they've gotten rid of all of them.
They got rid of everybody. And they got one punter.
Yes.
That's it. A punter and a place kicker.
Yeah.
Two different guys. Pat O'Connell's the punter. Eddie Pinero, no relation to Anthony. He's the place kicker.
Yes, that's right.
Anybody get that joke?
Yes. Pierno.
Yeah, that was close.
Yes. Pinero, Pierno.
It's spelled differently.
It's spelled differently.
I get the P right.
You got the P right. Correct.
Relax. Okay, Bilotti.
I'll tell you this. Parkey's got to make that field goal. And the Bears, here's the one thing when you listen to Nagy is they should have learned their lesson with Parkey last year, right? Who was having issues with his accuracy. And they relied on him when the pressure was on the most, right? And they got what they probably deserved because Parkey was not having a good year kicking the football a year ago. Now, Taz, the one thing is, at some point in time, you got to move on. Because if you don't move on, you get stuck in the past. Yeah. And if this is something that you are supremely focused in on, in terms of finding the field, who the hell would want to be the place kicker in Chicago?
No. No, imagine the pressure. I mean,
why we've got to make it for 40.
Would you say 40 yards?
43.
43. 43.
43.
43, let's go. Right. And we're going to give you number 43.
If that is your singular focus when these guys are working out and they're basically telling you that there's this overall negative vibe, you know, in the kicking room, in the special teams room, or regarding the head coach, that they're knocking the kicking specialist on the Bears as well. These are all unnamed guys that did workouts for the Chicago Bears, and they're looking to try and get jobs in the National Football League. But that is a strange story in Chicago, I'll tell you that.
It is crazy.
Well, let's head to New York. How about Le'Veon Bell? He's not going to play in the preseason, according to head coach Adam Gase. Here he is, the former Steelers star, talking about not that very fact of not getting reps in preseason football.
I'm completely fine with it. You know, like I said, each and every day I've been getting better. So I think the coaches see it. And they've been putting more reps on me, you know, in practice. I try to go get a little contact in practice. You know, our defensive players do a good job of giving me good contact, but not really trying to hurt me or take me to the ground too much.
Mm. Yeah, now he did also add to that, Taz, to the comment that he wants to get, quote unquote, hit by his teammates in practice. Mm. Now, you can understand that, right?
Yeah,
he wants to knock the cobwebs off.
Right,
he wants to knock the rust off.
It's
he hasn't played.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He hasn't played a lot of football here in the last year and a half. He sat out all of last year as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers in a contract dispute. I get that. I get the fact that he wants to kind of, make sure that he could take the hit and keep on moving on. Because when you don't feel that contact, as you know better than anybody, in a while, there is an adjustment period.
You're right. And he wants to get that out right now. Cobwebs, as you said, is a great way to put it. You know, as we say in the rest of the business, he wants to muck it up a little bit. It just wants to muck it up. Get in there, mix it up a little bit, muck it up. You know what I mean? And that'll, you know, build his callus back up on his body of taking hits. Because he knows come game days on Sunday, you know, dudes are coming full speed, 150 miles an hour at you. So you better be ready to roll. So he needs these guys to get him back and get in hit shape, you know. So he's a tough guy, Lev Bell. And I got to say, as a Bills fan and a former Jet fan, I'm hoping that my theory is wrong because I got a feeling he's going to have a really good year. And the Jets look pretty good.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And we'll see if they continue to look, if everyone does stay healthy. Improved offensive line and Sam Darnold year two. Let's head down to Baltimore. Here's John Harbaugh, not Jim. And he's fired up about what the Ravens offense will look like with second-year quarterback Lamar Jackson.
There's only so many things you can do. As you know, the plays that we run, we understand how they're defended. So that you get speculate a little bit on how they're going to apply it, and you go. But we're not running, you know, it's not going to be Oklahoma circa 1976. So we have a lot of NFL plays in there. So I don't think it's going to be, I think it's a little overblown, really, all that kind of concern.
He hopes it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope so. You're taking a positive approach, Taz. If you watched the Ravens a year ago, you saw Lamar Jackson not be able to throw it.
Yeah.
He could throw it, but not throw it accurately.
Yeah, he's not accurate. Yeah, but athletic as heck, man. Once he's out of that pocket, dude, good luck.
You can't run him 26 times a game.
No, you get, and he took some hits last year as a rookie.
Right.
Dude, hits.
His body will not hold up.
You'll see Robert Griffin in there before you know it, and who else is there? A kid from Texas is there, too. McSorley.
Yes.
Did McSorley go to Texas? Trace McSorley?
No, Penn State.
Oh, that's right, the shorter guy. Yeah, who am I confused him with? There's another guy with an MC name that played for
Cole
Texas.
McCoy. He's
McCoy,
with the Redskins.
Yes,
he's the Redskins quarterback.
McCoy, McSorley.
That
sounds the same, but different.
Yes, Trace McSorley.
Trace McSorley, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's right, Penn State. Undersized guy, hard-nosed player. I mean, is he taller than Kyler Murray?
He's taller than Kyler Murray.
He is taller.
Yeah, he's the one that, remember, worked out at safety.
During his pro workout, because guys wanted to see
because of the athlete that he is, of whether or not he could transition to playing safety in the NFL and playing. He was open for that. Well, what it shows you is a guy that's willing to do anything, took on to an NFL team. So, I don't know what, if Jackson goes down, I don't know what Robert Griffin III is going to give you at that stage. Mm. Give him credit for being able to hold on in the National Football League, but Taz, I got to see it. I mean, Harbaugh doesn't sound worried. Maybe Raven fans aren't worried. I'm a little concerned about what that offense will look like. And I hope Lamar Jackson proves me wrong. And maybe, you know, maybe he's a lot more accurate and the ball comes out of his hands a lot better than it is. It's not floating in the air. He's right. able to drive the ball a little bit more. This isn't Louisville. Hopefully it looks a lot better throwing the football than he did last year, because last year I don't think he looked great at all.
No, I don't think he looked great at all either. I mean, it was and this year, and you know, man, it's like these defensive coordinators, they got a full year of tape on them.
Yes.
So now, you know what I mean? Now they could scheme against him much better.
No doubt.
You know, to keep him in between the lines. You want to keep him from guard to guard. You want to keep him in the pocket. That's what you want to do with him. But you know, the good thing too for them that no one talks about, Moose, they got Mark Ingram now. As far as that running back spot.
That's a good point.
You never know. Ingram could pop out and have a good year and run the rock real well, and that could help Lamar, you know?
No doubt. You're right about that. People forget about the fact that Ingram's no longer a New Orleans Saint. He's now a member of the Baltimore Ravens. Final stop, Taz. Let's head up to New England, Foxborough. Here's their head coach, Bill Belichick. The loquacious Bill Belichick on the week ahead.
Another big week for us. Had two good weeks on the road, two really competitive practices with both Tennessee and Detroit, and then the game. So, you know, this week it'll be a little bit different for us. We got to get ourselves ready to go against Carolina.
Yeah, there you go. All fired up.
It's like, say again, coach. You got one coach. What was that? Watch that. Sorry. It's just a long story.
We'll talk to you later.
Let's move on. Move on, sir. Nothing to see here.
As you would say, he's no selling it.
That's his gimmick.
And you can learn a lot. Here's the other thing, Taz. We talk about those competitive practices. You know, and don't forget this, is not only are you looking to see how your team responds, but you also, when you're doing those competitive practices, you're able to scout other teams. Not necessarily what you're going to see in the regular season. I'm talking about for players. Remember when the Patriots and Saints practiced? Bill Belichick fell in love with Brandon Cooks. Yep. Now, he only lasted a year up in Foxborough before they traded him to Los Angeles because they didn't want to pay him and give him a long-term deal that he got with the Rams. But he talked eloquently about how good of a player Cooks was for the New Orleans Saints, and he ended up becoming a New England Patriot. So,
good point,
just because, you know, you look at these practices and you go back and forth, you know, what are they worth? How much do you factor in? Is it a good thing? Whatever, you know, preseason football. But when you're able to go and practice against players and practice against another team, you're able to also see what that other team has and maybe where their depth is too.
That's a great point. Not a good point. That's a great point because, and, you know, Belichick's the type of guy, he's always scouting. He's always looking, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a practice, I guarantee you Belichick's this type of guy. He wants to see the guy who's hustling. He wants to see the guy. Because if you're doing it in practice, you're definitely doing it in games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because guys lay back sometimes in practice. Especially, it's a laid-back feel. It's another team. But still, you know, you're not trying to hurt each other. And you're just and he wants to see the guys that are always hustling. I just told my son during the recruiting process when he was coming out of high school, going to these different recruiting events as a lacrosse player. Coaches are always watching you. You know when they're watching most Moose? When the play's over.
How you react?
Right. What are you doing? Not just, even if you weren't involved with the play. Are you hustling back to your sideline? Are you walking around? Are you moping around? Are you
That's a good
point. Are you doing in between the plays? The nuances.
That's a good point.
Shows who, if you're dialed into the game.
Were you a hustler when you were playing Division II football?
I was actually a hustler until I bulked up to 275.
And then you were not hustling anymore.
Hustle was tough.
I could have.
Hustle was rough, my friend. I put on too much size. I was benching in a small foreign car.
I'm sure you were.
But I couldn't breathe, you know, so that was a problem. I was benching a Fiat.
Breathing's important.
And it's like, we're running
the human body.
We're running gases. I'm like, coach, I might want to sit out of this one.
I'm sure.
It was like me and like three offensive tackles and another defensive tackle. Like, all right, guys, just get some oxygen.
I can't imagine you at 275.
Oh, dude, I just put too much size on.
I'm sure.
I was quick for like two plays, and then I had to come out.
Then
I needed a break, dude. I had to cut the weight. It was too much weight, man.
There you go. Those are the campgrounds here on this Thursday morning. We'll come back. We got an update with Bogus. Randy Cross is going to join us. We're going to talk a little NFL, a little college football with Randy. We're going to do that next right here. Taz Moose, Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening. listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4227, your number to call. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Randy Cross will join Taz and myself here momentarily. We'll talk a little college and NFL. CBS Sports, three-time Super Bowl champion. Yes, yeah. Taz.
You mentioned
BCS
earlier.
BCS later on the show.
Yeah, BCS. We have the BCS. Made a little alteration to it, but it's an XFL BCS. We'll get to that in a moment. You mentioned Randy Cross earlier. You mentioned him, he played center. He did. But I remember him as a guard. He also played guard. He played both. A lot of centers and played guard, too. But I remember him. You remember him more as a center? Because I remember him more as a guard.
I remember him more as a center.
I know he did both, but...
Yeah, I remember him more as a center.
Yeah, I remember him as a guard. I'm a 51, I remember.
He was a good player.
He was real good. He's been on the show before.
He wore the neck guard?
He did. Old school neck roll. I used to wear one of those. And my college number was 51. So
there you go.
Yeah, I liked Dick Butkus and stuff. It wasn't because of Randy Cross.
Is that why you picked it?
Butkus, yeah, I like Butkus. I wanted 66.
Or did they give you that number?
No, I picked it. Okay. I had an option. So I wanted 66, but a senior had it. That was my high school number, and I wore that because I loved Ray Nitschke.
Nice.
And then I said, how about 58? Because I like Jack Lambert. No, that's taken. And then I saw 51 in the equipment room. I'm like, ooh, what about that? They go, you got it. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's a good number. 51's a great number.
It is. I like that number. So anyway. I remember he was a great lineman. So he's been on before, too, with us. So
he has. And we can hit upon a myriad of different topics with him as well.
Sure.
So, and then we got a BCS. Sure. You mentioned the alteration. So... we've got our XFL teams, a little bench cut start, New York Guardians, the St. Louis Battle Hawks, and we're going to go with the Houston Roughnecks as your three BCS teams in reference to the XFL, the big unveiling of the logos, the team names yesterday by Vince McMahon and the XFL. We'll get into that here after the Cross interview. Bogus is sitting here patiently waiting.
Oh, wow.
Here early because we have a cross interview, so he came in here super early.
Dude's finally on time.
That's it's always exactly great right. to see him early.
And,
moves,
and it's all, yeah, thanks, no doubt. Hair parted perfectly at all.
Take I know you mean that.
Looks like he's six.
It was 12. It was home win number 50.
Got a nice flow to it. Too.
First day of school.
It was home
not
win.
Too much product, just enough.
Thank you for noticing that.
You're right.
Found a good balance. I
like the wisp of hair coming down.
Wisp.
That's an accident. It was home win number.
Is it too early in the morning to put product in your hair, Andrew? Think about that.
I mean, I have to. If I don't, it'll be a mess by the time I get here.
Wear one of these.
I gotta control it. No, I can't wear a hat.
I don't like.
No,
I stopped. I've stopped wearing a hat because I wanted to make sure I had hair when I grew up.
Yeah.
You know,
I never believed that. Religiously growing up, they're all bald.
I didn't believe it back in the day. My old man used to tell me, "Don't do it, don't do it," and he was right. You get the St. Anthony's bald spot in the back.
Yeah, I got
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was true, but I was like, I'm going to try and protect my hair as best I can. I mean, I used to wear a hat religiously when I was like,
when
I was younger, when I was a teen. Yeah, I used to wear a hat all the time. And then it was like, then I saw the warning signs. Guys that I knew were wearing hats that were a little bit older than that. Man, you're losing your hair.
Yeah.
And then I forgot where I read something like your hair doesn't breathe. I forget what it was. I'm like, I don't wear hats as much.
Yeah, you got a full head of hair. You know, Andrew Bogus just got something going on there.
Yeah, like 80% full.
He changed his look too.
He did?
A couple years ago. He grew it out a little bit.
What do you have?
No, it used to be shorter.
It used to be shorter.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And now he uses this to cover up some.
Yeah.
You do more like. That's true. You're trying to get like a Patrick Swayze look?
Patrick Swayze. That's a good reference. Very topical.
What's the. I don't get that.
I don't know.
What is that, right. Patrick Swayze?
All right.
Can I just read sports news? Is that possible?
Patrick Swayze had like a mullet.
Thing I could do.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Moose. You might have heard this before. See, now they're saying be quick in my ear. It was home win number 50, the 11th in walk-off fashion. Max Muncy did it for the Dodgers last night.
Mesa delivers, and Muncy with a fly ball to deep right center field. It is on its way, and Muncy has walked it off. His 33rd home run of the year.
That's Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio. 2-1 the final over the Blue Jays, who had tied the game in the ninth off L.A. closer Kenley Jansen. The Mets down the Indians 4-3-10 last night. J.D. Davis, an RBI single. The Cubs finally beat the Giants 12-11 on Chris Bryant's two-run bomb in the eighth. Chicago led 6-2, was down 9-7, led 10-9, then trailed again 11-10. That win and the Cardinals' 5-3 home loss to the Brewers jumped Chicago to the top of the NL Central, a half game better than those Cards. The A's held off the Yankees 6-4, Philly a 5-2 win at Fenway, and the Tigers surprised the Astros 2-1. Justin Verlander allowed just 2 solo homers while striking out 14 in the complete game loss. The Arizona Cardinals have signed veteran wideout Michael Crabtree, Jets linebacker Brandon Copeland suspended 4 games for PEDs. The New York Red Bulls, a 2-1 win at DC United last night. Wayne Rooney shown a red card in the 24th minute for elbowing a Red Bull near the face on a corner kick. And back to Melbourne we go. The Americans have pulled away. They lead Australia 84-69 midway through the fourth quarter of their tune-up for the FIBA World Cup. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Let's hit the guest line. Let's welcome aboard Randy Cross, college football and NFL analyst for CBS Sports. He joins us now. He's joined us before. Hey, Randy. Taz Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Randy?
Yeah, not too much. Just kind of girding. It's one of my favorite words now. It's girding.
I like that.
For football season. Hey. Whatever the hell girding is, I'm doing it.
Hey, listen, man, you used it right, and it sounded great. So,
Randy, let's start with let's start with college here. Besides Clemson and Alabama, which are obviously Clemson number one in the AP poll. We know how good they are. Great quarterback down in Alabama. What do you think the third most interesting, or what do you think the third best program set up for success is going into this college football season?
Well, right now, I think it's Georgia. I think Georgia's gotten to that point. Now, they've got to break through here, and there's only one way to break through for Kirby Smart and them. I mean, they got to win a national title. They've gotten themselves in that position, and right behind them would be teams like LSU and Ohio State that are in the same kind of category, but I think Georgia is the one that's just done it the best the most recently.
Yeah, Randy, I agree with you on the Georgia thing. Totally, I'm with you. Back on Alabama, I want to ask you a question, man. Like, motivation-wise for Saban, with his squad, I mean, you being a former player, you would get it better than anyone. I mean, being that they're preseason ranked number 2, Nick's not used to that. What do you think it's like for those kids in that team? What kind of motivation? I'm sure Nick's been going to be pretty hard. It's been pretty tough on them because he's probably motivated more than them. What do you think on that?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you got, 7 guys on the staff?
Yeah.
Running around right now from that national championship. Butt-kicking.
Mm.
And every time everybody gets cocky, every time, confidence gets too high and he may have to worry about it, he's got a pretty good go-to with just a low-light reel of that Clemson game, just showing guys, hey, look, we were a relative juggernaut last year for about 13 games until a couple of games where people really figured us out, so... I don't think overconfidence will be an issue. If anything, they can, as much as they can, with all the titles they have and all the success they've had, you're going to hear, disrespect and that kind of garbage out of them, too, at one point.
To Ohio State, you mentioned them being one of the other teams outside the top two here, Randy. What about Fields, the former Georgia quarterback who transferred to Ohio State, won the starting quarterback job for Ryan Day? How do you think he does as a Buckeye?
I think he's going to do pretty well. I really look at – if you look at what Ryan Day and the guys that he's worked with while he's been at Ohio State for Urban Meyer, I think it's a situation where you got to be really, really optimistic because this kid is a true dual-threat quarterback. Now, he's a better runner than he is a passer, and that's the challenge that Ryan Day has. If he can – increase his accuracy, if he can work on his, just sort of make it more natural and more of a quick progression in the passing game, then you get a true dual threat quarterback, and that could be deadly. And I'd put a guy like Jalen Hurts down at Oklahoma in the same category. I think Lincoln Riley will have a real challenge in seeing if he can develop that side of his game, because the feet are no problem.
Sticking with the Buckeyes for a second, Randy. So Ryan Day, the new head coach there, the Buckeyes, going to be a big spotlight on him, like there are most head coaches, but, you know, especially coming in there after Mario. Like, what kind of, like, speak on that a little bit if you can. How do you think, in your opinion, that Ryan Day will do in his transition as the head cheese there for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, you know, if he was replacing a Woody Hayes or somebody like that, you know, or being a Notre Dame coach replacing Lou Holtz, a guy, you know, at a point in their careers where they've had a lot of success, they've won national championships, and they're walking away, that's a different deal. Everyone fully expects Urban Meyer at some point to be back in college football. So, you know, I think Ryan Day showed last year when the coach was on the sideline for the first three what he could do. That's the main reason he got that job and Luke Fickell didn't, who has also proven he's a hell of a football coach at Cincinnati. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious this guy's got the chops. And number one job, obviously, is to have that great record. Number two job is to keep up this dominance over Michigan. You keep doing that, you can keep that job for a long time.
No, you certainly can. Do you think the criticism of Harbaugh at Michigan is justified, Randy?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're in the Big Ten. Is it whether or not you can consistently beat Indiana and Purdue and Illinois and them, or is it can you get after guys like Michigan State and Michigan? You know, and the obvious answer is the latter. And they haven't done that very well. And that's the problem Jim Harbaugh has. I think he's a really good football coach. I also think he gets kind of caught up in his shtick a little bit too much. You know, enough with the glasses and the hat and
the pants.
You know,
don't forget the pants.
Stuff.
Don't forget the pants.
Yeah, well, the khakis. I'm not going to kill him for the khakis. I think khakis in the sideline are a pretty consistent deal.
No, bro, he wears them high, though, let's be honest. They're under his areolas, let's be honest.
He does dress decades past his years.
Right, he dresses like it's 1955.
Yeah.
Listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Our special guest right now is Randy Cross, college football and NFL analyst for CBS Sports, three-time Super Bowl champion, great offensive lineman for sure. Let's segue now, Randy, to the NFL, man. Everything going on with the Browns, you know, Moose and I talk about it a lot, and it's almost like it's easy for people to start hating the Browns. It's just there's a certain swagger to them. We all like swagger in our football, but there's something going on there with these guys. Do you think that you know, they have a bullseye on their back to the level of being good or bad right now for Cleveland?
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, one of the more compelling stories of this football season is how they actually handle that. Because in my 20 years of doing NFL games, you know, before I sort of transitioned over on the college side, there were two fan bases, you know, you actually, when you did games, you felt bad for them. And you half rooted for their teams because the fan bases are legendary and they're amazing. And those two are Cleveland and Detroit. Well, Detroit's still wandering in the wilderness, but Cleveland at least is showing signs by some of the talent they're accumulating that they can be a really good football team. And for me personally, I got to root for the Browns. I'm not positive it's going to happen, but, you know, for that fan base, and having put up with everything they did, including, you know, having that so-called return of the Browns foisted on them in 99 and not admitting that was an expansion franchise, I think they've done some amazing stuff there as a group. And I'm looking forward to seeing Mayfield and everybody else there.
Randy, to Indianapolis, Luck again not practicing this week for the Colts. How concerned should you be about Andrew Luck with what was a calf, now high ankle injury?
Yeah, high ankle, small bone, little muscle. let's see what else. I much prefer his old mother Twitter account to all these updates on his injuries as far as the Civil War.
Captain Andrew Luck.
Captain Andrew Luck, that's it. Yeah.
It is not hard, you know, to look at this and go, you know, hey, if he doesn't play, come on, you're going to tell me that Jacoby Brissett is going to be that big of a difference maker and you're going to have the same kind of team? No. You know, this is, when he's healthy, this is one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the NFL, and you need him healthy. And he hasn't, you know, you look over the last couple of years, that's been a huge problem for him. Yeah. So, yeah, you are really, really concerned. It's the last thing that Ursay wants to talk about. It's the last thing any of those people want to talk about is the short-term, much less long-range health of this guy.
Helmets, football helmets, Randy. You know where we're going here. Thoughts?
Yeah, you ought to wear them. They're good.
Right. Exactly.
When you played, were you a Max Pro guy, Riddell, bike? Would you wear a bike?
No, I wore Riddell.
You were Riddell, yeah. You remember bike, though, right? Yeah.
All 21 years, yeah. I played football. Yeah. Now, I remember bike. It was like a big inflated plastic bag on your hand.
Yeah, I think Shutt actually owned bike. I'm pretty sure on that. But anyway, so Antonio Brown with the whole helmet thing, what's your take?
I think it's silly.
Yeah.
It's a problem only elite wide receivers and kickers have, that they can wear the same helmet for 10 years.
Right, right.
Because everybody else has contact and wears a helmet out. So God bless you if you can go that long. It does fit better. Yeah. But I think it's completely asinine, and it's just a desperate cry for attention by a guy that's, you know, sooner or later – he's going to have a true implosion. You haven't seen a real implosion yet, but sooner or later, Gruden's going to have to deal with a typical AB deal. Mm. And this is just giving you a little hors d'oeuvre.
It certainly is, and it's been something that Gruden and Mayock certainly have not, have not wanted to deal with, but they've dealt with it nonetheless. And you look at a really, really talented player, Randy. I want to ask you one more on college transition back there. You know, surprise teams, a Big 12. You know, I think Herman in Texas. I think he's got it cooking down there. We've been waiting for the Longhorns to turn things around. I thought last year was kind of a precursor of things to come for the Longhorns. Am I overrating Texas, or what do you think about the Longhorns this year?
No, I don't think so. I think you're going to find out pretty early, though, when they play LSU. You know, LSU is the real deal, and if Joe Burrow can actually throw the ball effectively, LSU is double dangerous. But Texas is a team that could be that surprise team. I think Iowa State could be that surprise team in the Big 12. I think Campbell's done a great job with that team. So in that conference, you know, Nebraska in the Big Ten, you know, Utah is going to win that Pac-12. So you're going to have some different names on the list this year.
Hey, Randy, we appreciate the time this morning. We do. We'll be watching on CBS Sports Network, and we'll get you on again real soon, all right?
Thanks a lot,
no
man.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Take care, Randy. Bye-bye.
Cross, who was a big fan of the bike helmets, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he wore Riddell, right?
And he said the bike helmets were what?
Plastic
bag on your head.
Well, what it was, that's the thing I was talking about with the inflatable thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The inside's an inflatable. I wore a bike helmet. And the thing is, Shutt owned bike, and then they got rid of the name bike, and then they created their own helmet, which is called Shutt.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. But back when Randy played, I know, because I was playing, but so there was just basically three helmets: Shutt, Riddell, and then very few guys wore Max Pro. Excuse me, Max Pro. Max Pro was really not that much padding. You had to be a hard-ass Jones to wear that.
We got a BCS coming your way next. The XFL edition of Bench Cut Start on a Thursday morning. You know where you're at. Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On this Thursday morning, welcome aboard. The weekend starts early with Friday night NFL preseason action between the Bills and the Lions.
Whoa!
Then on Sunday,
whoa,
the Bills are scorching with the beginning of the Big Three playoffs, followed by the PBR in the Music City. Buckle up for a huge weekend only on CBS.
Well, you know what I'm doing.
You're going to be watching a little Bills football.
Dang right. Just have a big bottle of Dewars. I'll have that set. This is after breakfast. So I'll have breakfast first, of course. Have some Eggs Benedict. Have some Dewars. Light a cigar. Pack a lip. Watch the game. Good
nice.
To go.
That's a good Saturday. Setup. That's a good setup. There you go. Ready for a little bit of football.
Yes. Yeah. Tobacco, liquor. We're
good. We mentioned earlier in the show a little XFL, right? And
yeah.
Preseason. And they're unveiling yesterday of their team logos and team names and everything like that. So we got a little special XFL BCS. Let's go.
All right.
It's now time to bench, cut, or start with Taz and the Moose.
Bench, cut, start.
Now, I accidentally, you know, sometimes when you text the wrong person, do you ever do that, Moose? Like you text something and you text it to the wrong person? It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Right or wrong?
Yes.
Especially me. I have a lot to hide. I'm very shady. So my bench, cut, start, what I normally do, pull back the curtain a little bit here. I text it to myself, so I have it locked in. I accidentally text it to Mikey B.
Oh, nice. Makes a lot more sense.
Now you see what I text. You're like, what is this? So funny, don't tell no one, Mike.
Funny you say that, because I was supposed to text my wife this morning, and I took the message to her, and I texted Pete.
See what I'm saying?
So I just did that.
I'm sure that went over well.
All right, who's going first?
Well, we gotta set it up first, shall we?
You set it up, and I'll go first.
There you go. Which team name matches the respective city? New York Guardians, St. Louis Battlehawks, or the Houston Roughnecks? Taz, take it away.
All right. So All right. So Houston Roughnecks. I'm benching. I'm cutting the St. Louis Battlenecks. Even though I think they should be called Rubbernecks. They're not even called Battlenecks. They're called Battlehawks. I gotta get used to the names. Battlenecks. That's funny. The hell's a battleneck? Anyway, I guess you had to be there. And I'm going to start the New York Guardians. So, the gimmick is, which name matches the city? It's kind of a stupid topic, but I'll play along. That's how I am. Roughnecks, definitely. There's some rough cats in Houston. I've been to Houston. I've been there. There's some rough people. Some roughnecks there for sure. The logo fits them. Like you said earlier, it's kind of what we were talking about. It's like the Houston Oilers. We still know the name of the tower. And they put the H in it, the Houston Oilers logo, right? You know. All right, so I'm going to bench them because there are some roughnecks there. St. Louis, in the city of St. Louis, I don't know how many Battle Hawks are in St. Louis. I mean, how many Battle Hawks, the St. Louis known for Hawks? I don't know, rhetorical question. So I'm gonna cut the St. Louis Battle Hawks. New York Guardians, well, the gimmick is the Guardians is a gargoyle. Gargoyle Jones. So they got gargoyles all over these buildings in Manhattan, as you know. So I think it fits. You know, the Guardians, because they're watching over the buildings in Manhattan and New York City. So I do think that fits. I'm benching Houston Roughnecks. I'm cutting the St. Louis Battle Hawks. And I'm starting the New York Guardians.
There you go. All right. Well, we have a little bit of a difference.
Oh, really?
But one similarity,
right.
But a couple of difference. I'm going to bench the New York Guardians.
Oh, wow.
You know, I like the, and we played the audio from the hype video. I like that all build up. I get it. I understand it. But I don't know if it's as symbolic as the franchise I'm going to be starting. I'm going to cut with you. I agree with you. I mean, the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Yeah,
to me, I don't know if that really makes all that much sense.
You just did a thing with your head. You went like this, like, ah. Like,
yeah,
like, confused your head. Like, ah,
yeah, exactly.
It was very funny.
I don't know if I
you
really...
You were, like, trying to wrap it... I never have seen, or I don't know if it's saw or seen, I've never seen somebody literally, physically, this guy Moose, just tried to literally wrap the idea of Battle Hawks around his head. Like, you really did. You know, somebody, I got to wrap this around my head. You did this thing, with your head. It was pretty funny.
That one doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, me neither.
So therefore, I'm gonna cut them. I'm gonna start the Houston Roughnecks. You know, put the logo aside. Like, you know, the Roughnecks is what kind of like the slang term for oil men, right?
Yeah.
Guys that work on oil rigs.
Good point.
And stuff down in Houston. We know how big oil plays and how much oil money there is down in the great old state of Texas, especially in Houston, and all the oil companies. So I think that one's probably the most symbolic of the respective cities. So I'm going to bench the Guardians. I like the name. I'm going to cut the Battlehawks. Hate the name. And then I'm going to start the Houston Roughnecks. There's my BCS. All right, Mikey B, what do you got?
I'm going to bench St. Louis. I will cut New York, and I will start Houston. I'm in love with that Houston name. I think it's super cool. I like the logo, too. A little homage to the Oilers.
Yeah.
I like everything about it. The New York Guardians, I live in New Jersey, but a fan of a lot of the New York sports teams. I was expecting a little more, to be honest. I wanted something a little different.
A little more. Did you see the video? This thing's unbelievable.
Oh, the production value was fantastic. I'm just going with the name.
All right.
Pete?
I am benching the Guardians. I'm cutting the Roughnecks, and I'm starting the Battlehawks. I've never heard of a Battlehawk. It's a first. That's why I'm taking it.
Okay. But that's, wait a second. That's not the point of the BCS.
It's not even the concept of what we're doing here,
bro.
All right.
I don't even know what just happened. What is he talking about, bro?
He said he's starting the Battlehawks because he's never heard of it before. But the whole point was, which nickname is, you know, best representation for the city?
That's the bit. That's what we're doing. But I guess
in thanks, Pete, for paying attention.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Hello,
Pete.
All right. Anyway.
Jeez.
Wow, that went well.
It was going great, and then we ended on that.
Right. Yeah. We ended on.
Wow.
That's why some people say limit in 10 seconds.
That's exactly. I like queso. I am the nine.
We'll come back. We got the 3 for you. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.